Good morning.
Can you be married, sir?
I believe you said it last week. Last week I was not here. Me and my family went home. We had a funeral there. My brother passed away. I didn't receive a message of complaint from you, so which means everything went well here. I'm grateful. So we're going to continue then on our study in the gospel according to Matthew, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. We're reading from verse 5 to verse 10. We read from the Soto and we read from the English. From verse 5 to verse 10.
Ba Jerusalem le ba Judea bohle le ba puleng yohle ya Jordan ba tswela ho yena ba kolobetswa ke yena nokeng ya Jordan ba ntse ba ipolela dibetsa bona. Empa ha bona ba Farisi le ba Saduke ba bangata ba etsa ho kolobetswa a ho bona madinyane a marabe ke mang ya le boleletseng hore le ka baleha bohale bo tlang bontshang ka diketso hore le bakile mme le seke la nahana la re ntata rona ke Abrahama hobane ka le bolelela hore Modimo o na le maatla a o hlahisetsa Abrahama bana ka majwe ana. Selepe se 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 beilweng metsong ya difate, sefate sefe kapa sebe sefe se sa beile ditwela tse monate.
Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, then he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. And even now, the axe is laid at the root of every tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and is thrown into the fire. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word." The title of this message this morning is very simple. It's very simple. One word. Flee. Run away. Escape. This is not just some good idea. It is not just a suggestion. This title comes from a question that John the Baptist is posing to the people that comes to him for baptism. He's asking a question: who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Because if you were warned correctly, you would have known better. If you were warned better, you would have known that if you have to flee, there must be a place to flee to, and you must recognize the danger to flee from. I think it will be unloving, it will be unkind for the producers of cigarettes to produce cigarettes and not to write behind the box that cigarette is harmful to your health. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, people who smoke, they lose their lungs.
Just
Listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 10, verse
28.
It says, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who destroys both the body and the soul in hell."
Luke 12, verse 5.
"But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after killing has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Friends, I consider a man who wants me loving. I consider a man who wants me kind. A man who corrects me when I'm wrong is a friend of mine. Not someone who will hide the truth from me and let me go to the pits. So it is unkind, it is unloving to preach a God who does not exist. God who loves sinners so much that he will hide the truth about the consequences of their sins. God who will not warn his people about the unquenchable fire preserved for all those who are unbelievers. So the question this morning is then, do you take warnings very serious? What is your attitude when you hear a warning so kind and loving like this warning, flee from the wrath to come? Because it is clear, my friends, that God will not let sin go unpunished. Unless you come to him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this testimony of a man who avoided the warnings written in a cigarette box which he puffed and passed for many years. Listen what he's saying.
It
says, "I'm sitting in my hospital bed. The time seems to be going very slow. While the pain seems to increase rapidly, minute by minute, second by second. I knew it was bad. I never listened. All the warnings before me, I ignored. All the warnings before me, I ignored. I wish I can turn back the time. I wish I could make the time go a little bit faster. But all this thing does not depend on me, does it?" Friends, how much serious do you take a warning, especially a biblical warning that comes from this text, "Flee from the wrath to come"? In verse 2, he has already told us now, he has already mentioned how to flee from the wrath to come. He has already said, you can only flee by repenting from your sins. In verse 12, he mentions that it is because there is an unquenchable fire that will burn the shaft all those who will not believe, all those who will die in unrepentance.
Verse 12,
So for this morning, there are just two assumptions that I would like us to address, that I would like us to correct. First is that this warning is to the unchurched sinners. It is true that the warning is equally important for all men, but it is not only for unchanged sinners. Secondly, this warning is not a hoax. It is not some fabricated falsehood that is made to masquerade as truth. So first, let us see then that this warning is not only to the unchurched. If you look at verse number 7, you can see that John is addressing the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees, who had a great understanding of biblical writings, who had a great understanding of the truth. People who believe that the world is governed by God, the world is governed by God's decree. It is also governed by God's providence. People who believe that the souls of men were immortal. People who believe that there is a life after death, the soul of man is immortal, it will either continue in happiness or in eternal destruction. They believe that the dead will be raised. They believe in angels. They believe in spirits. But they were hypocrites in their administration. They were hypocrites in their beliefs. The Bible tells us that they love the high places in the synagogues. They love good seats in the feasts. The Bible shows us that they were corrupt in their heart. They were sinners, men of great status, people who were seeking favors from others by doing evil before God. In the other hand, we had the Sadducees, the heretics of the day, the people who did not believe in the resurrection, they did not believe in angels, they did not believe in spirits. They also did not believe in the immortality of the soul. They believed that when you die, your body perishes with your soul. They also did not believe that God decrees things. Above all, they rejected most of the Old Testament writings. So these men, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, now they come to John for baptism. But they come with an attitude that they think they don't have to repent before they get to be baptized. They think they already have repented by keeping their laws and the rituals that they had.
bana nna go ne ba sekuluile ka bane ba ne ba latela molao le ntle le meetso ya matsatsing ao.
They were assuming that they were standing right before God.
Ba ne ba nana go ne ba eme hantle pela Modimo.
It's like if you were there, you will see them the way they look at the people coming to John for baptism and confessing their sins, as verse 5 to 6 tells us. They're looking at them and says, oh, there come the sinners. There go the sinners to confess their sins, but not us. But while they were looking at themselves in that way, while they're looking at themselves so high, while they thought they were better than others, why they consider their church attendance, how many times they go, they went to the church, why they consider their offerings and the tithe, how big and how advanced are they doing in their religions, why they thinking of those things, why they counting on those things. In verse number 7, John says, you brood of vipers. Generations of snakes. People without resemblance of true believers. People who have not repented from your sins. They have not believed that God has finally fulfilled his promise that he himself will come into this world as a seed of a woman, as an offspring of Abraham, as the son, the root of David, who was to come and establish the kingdom of God, that he will sit in the throne of David forever. They have not believed that in Judah, in Bethlehem of Judah, a lion has been born, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world. And consequently, they have not seen themselves as people in need of help. So they do not see themselves as sinners without hope outside the righteousness of God. If you don't see yourself as a sinner in need of salvation, the Bible says, then the wrath is coming upon them. I don't know about you, my friends. I don't know if that is you or that is not you. Someone who thinks he knows everything. You are in the church, but without a saving relationship with the Son of God. He who went to the cross and carried our sins, but you are among the people of God. Because if that is you, John tells his hearers, he says, there is a wrath to come, an unquenchable fire. He says one day the shaft will be burnt. John is saying there's a possibility that you think you've got it right when you got it wrong. He's telling these Pharisees, remember, these are people who have been to church and they're owning churches, the synagogues. He says, there's a possibility that you might think you got it right while you got it wrong. He says, you know yourselves, you don't have fruit in keeping with repentance. You don't have anything to show for. You don't have anything to distinguish you among the sinners in this world. The only thing that you have is the courage to try and hide behind water baptism without true repentance. You're trying to commit yourself physically when you have not committed yourself spiritually. When in your life there is no spiritual transformation. In your life there is nothing of God. Such people have no room. They are not ready for the kingdom of God. Regardless of their knowledge, regardless of their theological understanding, regardless of how the community treats them, regardless of how much the government respects you, regardless of how much influence you have in the church, outside the church. But if you have not come to Jesus, you have not repented of your sin, you have not kept the gospel as it is, or produced fruit in keeping with repentance, you are outside the kingdom of God. The wrath of God remains upon you. That is the message. Think again, my friends. Who is it that John is talking to? Pharisees and Sadducees. Great men of faith. People with great status. People who come to the church and are given seats in the front. People with great offerings and tithes. People with great number of followers. But if you have not repented of your sins, to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, you have not escaped the wrath to come. Regardless of all that. So my friends, let me ask. Have you repented of your sins? Maybe you have.
Maybe you did.
But then the question is, do you have a fruit in keeping with repentance? Can we point at you and says, there walks, there goes the child of God? Can you say, that is an example? Look at that man. He looks like Christ. He walks like him. You have the fruit in keeping with repentance. Have you fled from the wrath to come? Have you searched your heart? Have you searched your character? Have you searched your behavior? Would you be able to call on your brothers and sisters, your beloved one at home, your family? Would you be able to call them and say, run, flee from the wrath to come? Is it possible for you to tell them? Or it is difficult. Because your own life has not changed. Since you have believed in Jesus, you still look the same as you were before you believed in Jesus Christ. Maybe your foot. One foot is in the church and the other foot is in the world. Maybe you have not crucified the flesh and its desires in you. Maybe you still desiring the things of the world. You are wrestling sinners for sin.
Maybe we are not.
So how would you tell them to flee from the wrath to come? When you profess Christianity but you still live like a demon. Regardless of what you say. How is your life? You profess Christianity but you are still sinking in your sins. You claim you have the truth because we have the truth as Christians. You also claim to have the truth, but the very same truth has not transformed your own life. How can you tell others of the truth? Oh, Pharisees and Sadducees, how can you lead the people of God, the Israel, to God if you yourselves have no God? How can you transform Olivan? How can you transform your own family if you yourself have no God? Why is God mocked because of you? That is the question that John the Baptist had here. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you can call yourself a child of God but live like a devil? But this warning is also to those who have not been to church, those who have never confessed Jesus Christ, even if they were to church, as Lord and Savior. It is not just to these people who in the church, who are in the church. It is also to the whole nation.
Flee.
So no one is excluded. Because the Bible says everyone is dead in their transgressions and trespasses and sins, following the prince of the power of the air. So the message is simple. Don't think you can counterfeit repentance and get away with it. Don't think you can ignore this message of salvation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's power unto salvation, and get away with it. Flee from the wrath to come. Have a proper sense of your sins and come to God in true repentance from it. Produce a fruit after your repentance. Produce a fruit. Produce a fruit and produce sincerity, or show sincerity after we have sinned, by forsaking your sins. But secondly, the warning is not a hoax. It is not some scaring tactics or some fabricated falsehood that is meant to lead men to God and scare them. This is important. This is serious. This is real. In other words, to be a strict religious person does not help. We have seen
that.
So it is good to listen very careful. Verse 8. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Here John, he insists that those who are claiming to be regenerated, they must produce the effects of salvation. He insists on the effect of the supernatural birth. Something must be obvious, something must be seen. He insists on the effect of salvation, the effect of regeneration. He leaves no room for pride. He leaves no room for human achievement. He also leaves no room for some false assumption. You will see that just now. He leaves no room for false conversion. So John will be this loving and kind preacher who will not only preach on God's love and God's grace, but also he will preach on God's holiness, which demands repentance. In verse number 9, we can see, do not assume that water baptism saves from the wrath to come. So we must not assume. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and only on the basis of that one can flee from the wrath to come.
He says,
do not presume to say to yourself, you have a father, Abraham. In other words, do not presume to think that Abraham's promises are yours on basis of physical or human descendants. He's telling them that not all those that are the descendants of Israel are Israel. Not all who are descendants of Abraham are the seed of Abraham. But true converts, true covenant children of God, children of faith. So all those who are sinking in their sins, regardless of what they confess, regardless of how much they go to the synagogues and so on, if they have not come to Jesus, they are not the children of Abraham. Regardless of your devotion, you are not standing right with God. Regardless of your long, repetitious prayers and long, repetitious songs, if you have not come to Jesus, you can repeat and repeat, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. If you have not come to Jesus, if you have not believed, you have not repented from your sins, you have not looked at him and said, I am wrong, he's right, I'm sinful, he's holy, you remain not a child of Abraham. If your life is not characterized by godliness and righteousness, you have not fled from the right to come.
It
says, stop thinking, stop presuming that Abraham, since he's your father, you are going to heaven. In other words, don't think that because you are raised from a Sunday school, you don't think that because your father is a Christian and your mother is a Christian, you also are a Christian. No. You need a personal encounter with Jesus. Through faith and repentance. In verse number 10. He says, even now, the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I think here we see the seriousness of the warning. Bafan, thank you. In this verse, we see the seriousness of the warning. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. In other words, God's judgments are certain and they cannot change. They cannot be avoidable except one comes to Jesus. Except one comes in faith and repentance. He stands. Here we are given a picture of an axe that will only cut down the trees which does not bear fruit. An axe that will not trim the tree. No, he's not going to trim the tree. This axe is going to cut down the tree. This sounds serious. If I'm a tree and the axe is coming to cut me down, it means destruction to me. A cut down tree can no longer absorb water. A cut down tree can no longer stand. A cut down tree deserves to go dry and be thrown into the fire. But the question is, if such a people with a high view of God, a people with so great knowledge and theological understanding of the things of God, a religious people like this, if such a people are being disqualified, if they are so disqualified, people who gave their lives to going up and down doing religious stuff, if they are so disqualified, what about the ordinary man and woman walking down the street? What about the ordinary man and woman sinking in sin and in violation of the law of God and publicly provoking the law of God and the commandments of the Savior?
So, okay, so I learned about the way I'm going to be able to do with him. But I'm going to be able to see if you can pay me.
If such a people are disqualified, what about the people of Olive? What about me and you?
We
only come on Sunday once for 2 hours. What about the people of Olive who sit in their own houses and smoke cigars and drink beer and enjoy their lives and swim in their sins? It's like the people are so disqualified. What about the people who walk up and down and they can only be identified by a Bible that they are Christians? If such a people are disqualified, what about us? What would have John said to us? If such a people are so disqualified, I think we can see the seriousness of the warning. We need to see the danger of being live service worshippers. People who honor God with their lips, but their heart is far from God. People who think they can have Jesus as their Savior, but not Jesus as their Lord. People who think, just because I raised my hand, I said a prayer, now I can live as I want. I can continue seeking my sin. I can continue in my idolatry. I can continue and do all the nasty things in this world. Jesus is my Savior. But Jesus must be your Lord. He must lead you day by day. You must walk with Him. You must live with Him. You must pray to Him. You must have a life characterized by the character of Jesus. John says, watch out. Stop deceiving yourselves. Your lip service will not save you. It lacks spirituality. Your understanding of the law, your understanding of the writings of God, and the rituals that you follow will not save you. Coming to Jesus is not a once off believing in Jesus. You must remain. You must walk with Jesus. You must walk like Jesus. You must live your life like Jesus. God knows we are not perfect. But who says that is an excuse, our excuse now to live in our sins and say we are Christians? Friends, seek the restoration of your soul when? Now. If you have not forsaken hypocrisy and sin, you have not ran, you have not escaped the wrath to come. If you think you can just join the body of believers, the redeemed people of God, without a change, without a transformation in your own life, you have not fled the wrath to come. If you have not considered this message, flee from the wrath to come. If your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your friends at work cannot characterize you or call you a Christ-like person, then we have not fled the wrath to come. So, who is to flee the wrath to come? The unchanged people of this world, and the hypocrites who are flooding the churches today. How serious is this wrath? The wrath of God is serious because the axe is already at the root of every tree. But let me close by telling you this, my friends. Our God is merciful. Our God is loving. Our God is kind. Our God is gracious. All that you need is to open your eyes, open your mind, open your heart. Taste and see that God is good. He's so kind. He gives us a warning beforehand. He tells us that at the wrapping of history, there will be a great separation of men. All those who wanted to be baptized without repentance, those who wanted to be counted in the house of God without the transformation of their lives, they will be thrown into flames. People will rise from the dead, great and small. They will stand before the judge. And he will separate his wheat from the chaff, and he will throw the chaff into an unquenchable fire. But those in Christ. But those in Christ. I will say it again. But those in Christ. Those who have come to him in faith and repentance. Those who have given themselves to Jesus. Those whose life is governed by the Holy Spirit of God. they have escaped the wrath to come. That is why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 it says, a very small short verse, and everyone who does hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. In other words, those who are born of God, they continue to immerse themselves in the presence of God, in the love and the grace of God. They walk as Jesus walked. In humility, in love, in kindness, and in patience, in self-control. They are clothed with this robe, a robe of righteousness. And because of that, they now can stand before the throne of grace without blemish. They follow God wherever he leads. They fled the wrath to come. Flee the wrath to come. Come to Jesus. Call him while he's still near. And he will answer. Let's pray.
We thank you, Lord, for this warning that you gave to your church and those outside your church, Lord. That not only does a man have to repent, but a man has to show fruit of repentance, Lord. We pray that our lives, Lord, may show this fruit of repentance, Lord. That if we see, Lord, that there is no fruit, if we see that people from our families, our neighbors, our colleagues cannot say there is this fruit of salvation, Lord. That we may run and flee from this death to come, Lord. That we may repent, finally repent, Lord, and show this fruit of salvation and continue in you, Lord, and be rooted in you, who is our salvation, Lord. Oh, Lord, may you help those who heard this word today, Lord, those who will hear it on the internet and everywhere else, Lord, that they may see the need to flee from the wrath to come, Lord, and to repent from their sins. Those, Lord, who are in the church, Lord, but they are caught up in hypocrisy, Lord, but they are caught up in unholy lives, Lord, that they may see the need to flee from this wrath to come, Lord. May you help us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.